Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams, here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international. And oh, yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number three. We're going to go to dipper number three. So we're going to move into this discussion. I just called this whole section shooter because we've learned some things about the shooter or the attempted shooter who hung out at the Trump golf course down in Palm Springs, laid on the site for 12 hours. Secret Service did find him, but the fact that he was able to lay there for 12 hours before they found him is a little scary. Anyway, we're learning a lot about the guy. We're also seeing some strange and unusual events sort of surrounding the fact that there are investigations. There are now multiple investigations, and we also have a new manifesto. That's enough from me. Let me bring on somebody who is who has been in this arena for quite a bit. Jay Towne is a frequent flyer on this show. Jay Towne is a former U.S. attorney appointed under the Trump administration, got degrees from Notre Dame, a law degree from Seton Hall, former JAG officer in the Marine Corps, and he's on the phone right now. Jay Towne, how you doing?
Fine, my friend. Weird times these days. I tell you, I appreciate you having me on, though.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, first of all, I appreciate you making time because I know you're out of pocket today. But thank you for making time for us here. But listen, let me just ask you this: there's a weird dynamic. At least it feels weird to me. But you've been in this world as a U.S. attorney, so we've got a situation with the suspected shooter who laid on the Trump golf course. You know, had a plan, had a rifle. Was doing all the things. He's a weird dude. Laid there 12 hours. We have the feds doing their investigation, which I understand. But now Ron DeSantis, governor of Florida, has launched a collateral investigation. Is that normal? And what are your thoughts on that?
Well, so, I mean, it is and it isn't. So, I mean, when a lot of times, so federal indictments, federal search warrants, things like that, they move very slowly. They don't at the state and local level. So, and if you're worried about somebody not being detained, he eventually was not given any bail by the federal judge on a couple of gun charges, which is not normal, frankly. I mean, there's not a lot of people that get detained until trial because they have a felon in possession of a firearm charge. But there's all sometimes, it doesn't happen often, but sometimes the penalties at the state level are much greater than the federal level. And when you think about the crime of murder or conspiracy to commit murder, solicitation to commit murder, and in this case, attempt to commit murder, the federal statute's a little bit clunky as it relates to the attempted assassination of former presidents. And it's clunky in the sense, not that it's not a good law, it is, but when you capture somebody during the planning phases, it really does make it difficult at the federal level. So you guys staring out over a rifle, waiting for Trump to come up to the sixth hole, Secret Service engages, and the guy runs away. That's a much more difficult thing for the feds to prove. At the state level, if the only reason or one of the reasons why the murder plot failed, and now it's an attempted murder, is because you were engaged by law enforcement, and this is in the jury instructions in the state of Florida, then it's still an attempted murder, even though you never fired a shot. You had all the intent. Every time he put a round into that magazine, when he pressed the gas pedal to drive from wherever to that spot on the golf course on the fence line there, every time he did any of that, that's the sound of intent. And so the state actually, and you know, attempted murder and murder, there's no difference in the penalties. And you know, at the federal level, they're not great at murder cases because they don't do, frankly, a lot of them. So I can see why, you know, Governor DeSantis, I know him a little better than just colloquially, is doing what he's doing because there's no reason to allow the federal system to negotiate this down to a 10-year plea deal or something like that. This guy never needs to breathe fresh air again. And you'll also note that the district attorney in Palm Beach County, rather, came out and said like 24 hours after the guy was captured, yeah, I don't think we're going to be able to make an attempted murder case. And yeah. I actually communicated with the Governor DeSantis' office and said, hey, here, I prosecuted more murder cases than you and anyone that you're looking at right now. And I can tell you, it's not a hard case. So, you know, and here, and I gave him the statute and I gave him the jury instruction and you know, the proofs necessary. And I think the Attorney General is probably going to take the case from the Palm Beach County District Attorney, who, I mean, within 24 hours is like, yeah, I don't think we're going to be able to make a murder case, yeah. Which is insane to say anyway. Like, just don't, if you're not going to be able to, study it for a little. You don't even have all the information yet, right? I mean, we're still getting Google returns from subpoenas about what this guy was Googling and what he was, you know, who he was communicating with overseas and things like that. I mean, you don't know anything. All yeah. you know is this guy had a gun. I mean, you know the worst part, but, you know, just a very, not a very aggressive approach from a, what I'm sure is probably a fairly liberal district attorney well, down there.
And we had, Jay, let me ask you this before I get to the next point that I want to hit on, but we, on the issue of the concurrent investigations, we did have DeSantis say at one point that he thought it was a bad idea for the sole investigation to be conducted by the agency, which is also prosecuting Trump, the DOJ.
I know. And I get that. Yeah. I mean, I get it. I do. I draw some distinction between agents and agencies.
Gotcha.
You know, and you think about people have a problem with, you know, this because you and I are friends, but I'm friends with Chris Wray, the director of the FBI. So I'm not as critical of him as others would like to be. But I understand why people criticize the agency. But the agents who are doing the investigation, and it's probably the ATF, frankly, they're going to do their job. Right. This is a career maker.
Yeah.
If anything. So I Great you point. Know, what Merrick Garland decides to indict is a whole nother thing. So, okay, yeah, this is a high vis case and Maine Justice gets to sign off on indictments. I wouldn't trust that either.
Okay.
Let me
ask you this then. Speaking of Merrick Garland. So, you know, like we had the, I mean, totally unrelated, I get it, but we had the Covenant School shooting in Nashville and the transgender shooter had a manifesto. And to this day, they're still trying to get pieces of that manifesto because they've been withheld from public eye. And, you know, why? We don't know. Well, we got the guy, the potential shooter down in Florida, who had at least some level of a manifesto or a letter, some screed that he put together, and in which he also called for a bounty on Trump's head. And the DOJ chose to make that document public within 24 hours of it being seized or found. And a former Attorney General Barr says that's unconscionable. What are your thoughts on that?
I agree with Bill. It is, I mean, one, it wasn't necessary. The guy was lying in wait like Rommel to kill the former president of the United States and the Republican nominee for president. You know, but for, honestly, some eagle eyes, my eyes wouldn't have caught that guy over there. You know, and he didn't ask for permission to fire a shot, drew his weapon, started shooting at the guy. Good for you, Secret Service agent, whoever you are. You'll be getting the Presidential Medal of Freedom in about 6 months. The idea that they needed this, and one, they could have filed that under seal so that which Jack Smith does all the time. So the DOJ and transparency, this DOJ anyway, give me a break. Honestly, there was no reason for that. And to let everybody in the world know that this guy or maybe Iran or somebody's offering money to commit an assassination of the former president. And maybe there's some more out there. I don't know. I don't go on Reddit, but I'm sure they're talking about it. And it just was so unnecessary to keep this guy behind bars. And if the feds couldn't keep him behind bars, the Attorney General's office would have picked him up inside of the federal courthouse and dragged him to a county jail. And he'd been charged with murder and had a $5 million bond. So, I mean, he wasn't getting out either way. There was no reason for that. And if the feds communicated with the state a little bit more instead of telling them to back off like Ron DeSantis indicated they've been doing, maybe they would have known that and they wouldn't have made this critical error. Maybe it's just amateur hour. Maybe it was intentional. Either way, it was bad.
Yeah. Well, perfect points, and I knew you could summarize it. Man, listen, I know you're at a thing right now, and you took some time out for us, but I want to tell you how much I appreciate it, and we'll have you back on again sometime soon, brother, all right?
Thanks, Phil. Anytime, right, buddy.
Semper Fi. See you.
Semper Fi. See you.
Yeah, that's, so I knew he would. I mean, former U.S. attorney and extremely well connected. He's got the ability to put some perspective on this. That's interesting to me. So here's the summary there. He is not put off by the fact that we have concurrent investigations. He does not see that as being too big of a thing. He said it's a little unusual, but it's not so unusual that it's weird. So Florida and the feds both conducting their own concurrent investigations. Florida may have the ability to move faster on some things because they're not as jimmied up with delays and with ponderous bureaucracy that they might experience on the Fed side. There is that. Then the issue, though, of the DOJ choosing to issue that manifesto. I'll talk about that in more detail after the break, but the bottom line is that was completely unnecessary. In fact, some say that may have actually put a bounty on Trump's head because it's going to inspire people to be bad actors and to pursue the opportunity for another assassination attempt on Trump. This is unprecedented. This is unprecedented in U.S. history. In all of U.S. history, what we're in right now is totally unprecedented. All right, Big Rig, take us to a break, brother. We'll do that right now. We'll come right back, and I got some stuff, man. The shooter. What else do we know? We know several things. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, woof. Pulling pins on truth grenades, that's what I like to say. So let's talk a little bit about the shooter. I mean, what do we know about this guy? Well, we've learned a lot about him and about his motives and about some things that are, I guess, part of the not entirely circumstantial. I mean, there's some legit evidence in here of things that will be held against him in court, if you will. Not the least of which appears to be a written confession. So here's the thing. I got a piece here from CNN. CNN says the man named, who we know now is named Ryan Wesley Routh, he previously had written a letter saying, quote, this was an assassination attempt on Donald Trump. So there's that. So now the feds are also saying they are in likely going to wind up bringing charges of assassination or attempted assassination because that's a different category. There's, you know, like you have murder one, murder two. It depends on the state law or the federal law for that matter, as to where you are, what venue you're in, the law that applies. But apparently there is a separate potential charge under the law for assassination of a president or at least a public figure. Anyway, one of the things that happened in the last 24 hours is they had the original arraignment hearing, and the federal magistrate judge ordered him to be detained. So basically he's not out on bail. He's going to be detained indefinitely. Pursuant to the ability to be tried. A witness told investigators that Routh had dropped off a box at his house several months ago. And when all this happened and he realized, dang, that's the guy that I know, he went and opened the box to see what was in there. It had ammunition. There was a metal pipe for whatever reason, some miscellaneous, you know, building materials and tools. It was like a junk box. There were also four phones. That's interesting. And various letters. One of the letters was addressed to, quote, the world. And the letter then said, this is an assassination attempt on Donald Trump, but I failed you. I tried to give my best. I gave it all the gumption I could muster. It's now up to you all to finish the job. I will offer $150,000 to whomever can complete the job. Now, there's no indication he has the money. In fact, there's zero belief that he has that kind of money. But I look at this and I think, first of all, why would they release this document? I mean, think about what we have gone through as a press or just in the general public of trying to get information on things like the manifesto published by the transgender shooter of the Covenant School in Nashville that killed these kids and teachers. Yeah, they won't let you have it. Could incite pain and difficulty. We can't let that out because it's an ongoing investigation and blah, 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 no transparency, blah, blah, blah. Well, within 24 hours of them finding out about the letter, the Department of Justice, according to Fox News, decided to go ahead and release it. And Attorney General William Barr, who served under Trump and George H.W. Bush, who, by the way, is not a big fan of Trump anymore. They're not on good terms. But Bill Barr says he is dumbfounded that the Justice Department would release this chilling letter penned by this guy, Routh. calling the decision rash and serving no purpose other than to risk inciting further violence. No purpose except to risk inciting further violence. Points out that the Barr said, quote, the DOJ had more than enough evidence to have Routh detained pending trial without publicizing these details. Even if the DOJ thought it important to provide the letter to the court, it could have redacted them. Well, that's exactly what we heard a minute ago from Jay Towne. They could have redacted the letter. You can do that all the time. You know, a Freedom of Information request can be filed, and you can try to find out, in the event that it's necessary, what something was or was said or to whom it was said. But in certain points, you're allowed to have what's called an in-camera inspection. That means the judge sees it, but the world doesn't see it because it may have some privileged or confidential or you know, related to national security type information embedded in the documents. So an in-camera inspection could have been done by the judge. But no, they just went ahead and said, oh, by the way, here's what we found, Judge. You might want to know he's got a bounty out on the president. Oh, that's great. Serves no other purpose other than to risk inciting further violence, says Bill Barr. Well, listen, when we get back from this break, though, I'll tell you, we've been learning some things. Like what we find in the dude's car. Oh, that was interesting. What else was on, what search engine information did they have off of his phone? Or was it phones plural? Oh, yeah. How did the guy get from here to there and pay his way and do the things he did with no noticeable income? There's a lot of questions still to be resolved, but we're also finding out some things. And y'all, I'm just telling you, this thing is going to continue to unravel for a while. My hope is it does not get pigeonholed. And that's one of the reasons why I believe that Ron DeSantis ordered a state-level investigation, because there was concern about the whole thing being pigeonholed, just shoved down the memory hole, and then we all have to wonder. Well, end result is we're finding out things. We're finding it out pretty fast, and I'm glad, because that level of transparency is at, there's no reason not to be transparent. And tell us now. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. Last half hour coming up. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful, beautiful, beautiful state in the nation. I'm talking about Alabama. Y'all, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. And no, I don't read that. I say it from memory. I don't know how that happens. It just flows. All right. So listen, we're in the final half hour, go home time here on a Taco Tuesday. Let's finish up talking about this shooter thing. What do we know about old boy? Old boy's a nut. We know that. I mean, just a raging nut. You can be a nut, still be a dangerous nut, but he was a nut. And he had dropped off this letter at a friend's house. Kimball from Harvest, by the way, just texted in. I saw it and says, good on the neighbor who turned the letter and the contents from Routh over to the authorities. But what on earth would possess someone to hold a mysterious random package with questionable contents from an odd neighbor for some period of time? This assassination attempt might have been headed off earlier if someone had saw something, were to say something. Yeah, Kimball, I don't know how to explain that. I mean, I don't know if he was a personable guy who was someone who, you like your neighbor. I heard somebody say that they never had a problem with him as a neighbor, that they actually, their kids used to ride to school together and stuff. And so I don't know. I mean, maybe he just said, hey, man, I'm out of pocket. Can I put a box in your garage? And it may have been as simple as that. And then when this all broke on the news, they went, wait a minute, what's in that box? So I don't know how to explain it to you, but I appreciate you saying that. Good on them for turning it in. What else do we know about this dude, though? Well, first of all, in the investigation, and you got to do this stuff, even though it's pretty open and shut, it would appear, they're doing everything by the book. They did find his fingerprints on some Scott's tape, apparently, that was attached to the scope of the rifle. So basically, they've tied his actual fingerprints to the potential murder weapon. They also say they have cell phone data. I mean, the reason why we know he was there for 12 hours is because his cell phone data shows that he was actually at the golf course in that particular spot for 12 hours. So there's that. He had a clear line of fire, they say. And you know, they're calling it a sniper's nest. I mean, I don't know that he had any training to be a sniper, but he had a hindsight. He had laid up on a shooting spot that said that he had clear line of fire from that sniper's nest, from the chain link fence bordering the Trump International Golf Club. The prosecutor added that Trump was only 12 to 15 minutes away from being in that clear line of sight, and Routh would have had a clear shot just 100 feet away from the president. This was an easy shot, says the Mark Dispoto, who is one of the U.S. attorneys on the case. So there's that. Now we're also learning some things about things he had done and searched out. We also know now, because prosecutors say so, that he was in the area of Trump's golf course for several days. In other words, he had been casing the site. And, you know, this spot where he laid up, by the way, the spot where he laid up on the golf course is actually allegedly a known spot for like paparazzi and others who try to get pictures of Trump when he's playing golf down there and yada, yada. And so they're, I don't know. We're going to find out who he talked to. If he was there casing the joint for several days, he may have stumbled across that spot and realized that it was the right spot in the first place. Or he may have had someone who said, yeah, man, if you want to see Trump, we always go down there to that spot on the sixth fairway. But here's the thing. He also had a Google search on his phone of how to travel from Florida to Mexico. Interesting. So he was looking for his quick escape route. He was looking for his way out of the jurisdictional area of Florida. And you have to also wonder, by the way, where is he getting his money? Because what we understand is he was a contractor of some type. And he was living in Hawaii. He was living in Hawaii, and somehow he spent time in Ukraine. He was back and forth to the States. He was traveling around, by the way, going to Kamala Harris rallies, we understand. There are pictures of him at different rallies on his social media. So, oh boy, had the ability to travel and get around. So what we don't know was, while he was searching out the means by which to go from Florida to Mexico, how was he going to get there? How was he going to pay for it? Then they searched his car. In his car, they found six cell phones. Six. I'm assuming they're burner phones. They don't specify, but I'm assuming that they were. But he had six cell phones, and one of them had the Google search on it of how to go from Palm Beach to Mexico. Six cell phones. They also found 12 pairs of gloves, a Hawaii driver's license, and a passport. So, I mean, this guy gets odder by the minute. What I'm wondering is, did he have any training at all? Now, we know that when he was over in Ukraine, he was interacting with both the Ukrainian forces and NGOs on the ground and all that. The weapon that he used is called an SKS. It's a Soviet style, originally a Soviet made, but it's very common. The AKs and the SKSs are very common in what I would call the third world and former Soviet bloc countries. It's not a precision weapon per se, but it's a good weapon. You also look at it and go, why an SKS? Is that something that he became familiar with in Ukraine? Is that something he received training on, so he went with what he knew? And then you have to ask the question, how did he get it? Because he wasn't from here, but he flew here. So that means he must have acquired the weapon here. How did he get the SKS, the rifle? We don't know. More to come on that. Somewhere there's a receipt, I would imagine. Unless he came in and found a means to get a quick buy out of the trunk of someone's car, who knows? But old boy got himself an SKS, and the question becomes in my mind is, why that rifle? You could have bought a deer rifle. You could have gone down to the local gun store and bought a Remington or a Browning or something else with a scope on it that's, you know, a 30-30 or something that was, you know, basically going to be fairly standard. But no, he bought an SKS. I think that ties into his time in Ukraine. To what extent, I don't know. But I look at it and think that's there is some significance in the actual weapon that he chose. Maybe it was him trying to make a statement. Maybe it was him trying to make a statement with the weapon because he is so pro-Ukraine and so anti-Trump because of Trump saying that he's going to end the war in Ukraine, that he chose a weapon that is common to the battlefield in Ukraine. I don't know. Maybe. This is Phil speculating now. Donald Trump, by the way, came out. Newsweek has an article that came out yesterday. Phil, did you go to Newsweek? I did. Newsweek. Former President Donald Trump on Monday called for Florida Governor Ron DeSantis to take over the investigation into what he claims was his second. Newsweek. Into what he claims was a second assassin. Newsweek, did you miss the part where he wrote the manifesto that said this was an assassination attempt? Did you miss the part, Newsweek, where they said, hey, oh, by the way, the U.S. attorney is going to bring charges for assassination? Anyway, Trump wrote on his own Truth Social media platform, if the DOJ and FBI cannot do their job honestly without bias and hold the aspiring assassin responsible to the full extent of the law, then Governor Ron DeSantis, state of Florida, have already agreed to take the lead. So what we're looking at here is Trump basically saying, why would I trust the DOJ? Why would he trust the DOJ? Now, I agree with Jay Towne, who was on earlier, who said, I recognize there's a time and a place where the agencies, the rank and file, have their jobs to do. And the fact that the DOJ is prosecuting Trump does not mean that they're not going to do a good job investigating over here. There's a left-hand, right-hand thing, right? But I totally get what Trump's doing. I do. I totally get what Trump's doing. He is totally saying, why would I trust anything run by Merrick Garland and Mayorkas? Why? So the former president asserts that the Florida charges would be much more serious than the ones the FBI has announced. The truth would be followed wherever it leads, and our justice system is corrupt and discredited, says the man who's being prosecuted in the lawfare right now. Yeah, indeed. Especially as it pertains to the 45th president of the U.S. Let Florida handle the case. Listen. And by the way, I don't know if y'all caught it. Good on that Secret Service agent. Now, there's a lot of problems where we're learning the Secret Service, once again, did not have the same level of security that should have. They did not do perimeter checks the way you would have expected them to do at the Trump golf course. But whoever that was that saw the barrel of the gun sticking out from the through the fence line and then opened fire on the guy, we're not told that he called for permission to do so. He just took action. I don't know if you heard Jay Towne say it. In about 6 months, he's going to get the Congressional Medal of Freedom or the Presidential Medal of Freedom. You know what happens in 6 months, right? Trump's in office. That's what we're hoping. So what Jay Towne was saying in a backhanded kind of way is he's not going to get a medal while Biden and Harris are in office. He's going to have to wait till the guy whose life he just saved is back in office. We'll see. We'll see. I don't know, man. Last thing I got is the Miami Herald. The Miami Herald. Phil, did you go to the Miami Herald? I did. The Miami Herald. They're taking issue with the way this is all being portrayed. Yeah. It's a political football, this whole investigation. Yeah. One day after federal prosecutors filed gun charges against a man suspected of attempting to ambush Donald Trump. Ambush. Did you hear that? Ambush. What? They can't even say it. It's assassinate, dude. It's assassinate. Ambush. At his West Palm Beach golf course, Florida's governor elbowed his way into the case, saying he wants the state to pursue its own investigation and seek an attempted murder charge against the would-be assassin. Oh, they finally said assassin, but now Florida's elbowing its way into the case. On Tuesday, DeSantis took the unusual step of signing an executive order directing a statewide prosecutor to ensure the charges are brought for all violations of state law. God forbid he should be a governor who, you know, takes care of his people. It's unreal. Former veteran prosecutors in Miami said the proposition of parallel federal and state investigations of the same crime may be legal, but it would be counterproductive. You know what it might also do? It might also force transparency. Oh, how about that? It might also force the feds to actually do a good job. Whew. I'm just saying. Can you imagine what would happen if a DeSantis investigation found things and disclosed them and the feds did not? It's going to put egg on people's faces. So you know what this is doing? This is not only creating accountability, it's also forcing transparency. And oh, by the way, it's forcing people not to be the ones who are left behind in the investigative process. They got to do a good job. Miami Herald. Freaking Miami Herald. All right, take me to a break, Big Rig. We'll take the last break of the day here on Taco Tuesday. I'll come back and clean up some text messages because you guys are some texting machines. You want to text it in, you got time, 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, just making common sense like a superpower. I got a bunch of text messages, and I'm going to get some of those too in a minute, but I got a phone call right here. Is that, who's that? Brian? Brian from Huntsville's on the line. Hey, buddy, how you doing?
I've been better. I've been worse, but I wish everybody well.
Okay. All right,
I'm
man.
I'm being honest.
Well, there. I'll take it. I understand. What you thinking about? What you call for?
The would-be assassin.
Yeah.
That sent the box to his acquaintance.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's a friend or not, or acquaintance. I can't believe the acquaintance and what he did at that point after he found out what was going on. He apparently opened the box himself.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry. I would have called the police. I would have had a bomb-sniffing dog, probably a drug-sniffing dog out there.
Yeah.
And they would have proven that I had not gotten my hands in this situation any further than it was.
No kidding, because now your fingerprints are all over whatever's in there, too. Not just the risk you had to what could have been in the box, but now you're also just labeling everything with your fingerprints.
His acquaintance is not too bright either.
No.
You have a good one.
You see, bud.
Thanks.
All right. He's got a point. He's got a good point. Mike from Florence says, I can't help wondering if the man Crazy Horse that was arrested for threatening to kill Trump, Crazy Horse, in August had ties to the Crazy Horse currently being held for this month. I do not know what you're talking about. The article was in the New York Post, he says. That is news to me. I'm not familiar with this. JT Lacey Springs says, for what it's worth, a deceased neighbor had an SKS. It was crude. It was unfit for a scope, but its iron sights were quite accurate at 50 or 60 yards. Yeah, I had one too for a period of time. Didn't really enjoy it. Decided to go ahead and trade it for something else. But it was fixed iron sights, and I mean it's a level steady weapon. I get that. I'd still look at it and go, with all his stuff about Ukraine, is that why the SKS? I don't know. John from Huntsville has the grades in. He says Big Rig gets a solid A for his solid Taco Tuesday performance. J-Town's spectacular performance earns him an A+. However, today's winner is once again obviously Phil with an astronomical-sized A++. That's 2 days in a row, bro.
I know, man. You've been winning a lot lately.
I'm on a roll. I do not know what to say except that I try my hardest. And, John, I appreciate you. I got a brand new texter named Jimmy from Coleman. Go ahead and you already got him plugged in. Yeah. Jimmy from Coleman, welcome to the show, the text lines. He says, please explain how the manifesto was written months ahead of a failed assassination attempt. I don't know. It's a great question. It may be something that he planted in the garage, and he, for all we know, I'm speculating with you, Jimmy. He may have told his friend, don't open this box unless you hear about me later. Who knows? Or he may have written it knowing full well the box was not going to be opened unless he was in the news. So I have no idea, Jimmy. All I know is this has been attributed to the guy, and the evidence is pretty clear that it actually was attributed to the guy correctly. Jeff Mendiana says, Phil, it's Taco Tuesday, and I'm going to have taco burgers, much better and easier to eat, just like a taco but on a bun. Okay, Jeff. Thank you for sharing that. I appreciate it. Jeff P. from ARAB says, Phil, great show today as usual. Can't wait for Hump Day show tomorrow. Thank you, Jeff P. Appreciate you, man. We got a good one lined up. We'll have some grand council tomorrow. Don't forget that. John C. from Madison says, I would like, okay, he's got a whole different thing about maybe it goes back to my Adventures in Woke World segment. Wants to know why the VA would pay for a sex change on a person that's confused about their, all right, but he says he's still having trouble getting diabetic test strips. Listen, man, I'm telling you, woke virtue signaling is a woke mind virus, is what it is. It just is. Anyway, John C., Thank you, man. And since you're a VA guy, I'm assuming that means that you're also a veteran. So thank you for your service. Allie from Athens says, old boy, meaning the shooter, I'm sure, was way too much a Manchurian candidate for me. I get it. I do. Mike from ARAB says he's the same type of person that was used at – oh, he says, when you're an FBI or CIA asset, you can get whatever to wherever and what do you need to do to get there. Oh, wow. Wow. Okay. And then Joe from Indiana says, if the letter had offered a bounty on Harris, you can bet your tacos it would not have been released. No doubt. All right, you guys, listen. I say it all the time, but I mean it. There's more of us than there are of them. God is still on his throne. Stay in the fight. We'll see you tomorrow.